1 Corinthians 15 and verse 32. Now this is Paul speaking sarcastically. In 1 Corinthians 15, 32, he says, "If after the manner of men we have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth me, or what advantage is it to me, if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." If the gospel, he's saying that if the gospel is not true, then let's eat, let's drink, let's be merry, let's do the things of this world. Because if the gospel is not true, if the dead do not rise, then what's the point of this? But Paul knew that the gospel was true. He knew it was assuredly true, and he had no doubt in his mind. Paul gives us hope in despair. He gives us hope in suffering. Philippians 3 and verse 20 and 21. He says this in 3 and 20. He says, "For our conversation," or our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I'd like to speak to you today on this title, Remembering Eternity. Paul's talking about looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you today on remembering eternity. Whenever suffering comes, remembering eternity. Can we pray that God would speak to us in this house this morning? Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would speak to us, Lord God, in this place. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint every mind, every heart, every ear, Lord God. If there's an ear in this place, let it hear what your Spirit is saying today, Lord God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that the seed of your word would land upon good ground in this house today, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you would touch our hearts, that it would grow in our hearts today, Lord God. That you would help us, Lord Jesus, whenever we go through times of suffering, Lord God, to remember eternity, to remember heaven, Lord God, and the promise that you've made for us, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. There are times in our life that our successes are destroyed. Our lives feel ransacked. Our greatest fears have taken place right before our very eyes. Many times we can feel stripped of all motivation to continue on and to move forward in this life. Suffering is probably the most questioned and the most misunderstood season of life. We become filled of questions of why me and why not them, and how is this going to be fixed, and when will this end? There are so many questions that come with suffering. But God is growing us in long suffering. Long suffering is probably the misunderstood fruit of the Spirit. It's probably the fruit of the Spirit that nobody really even wants, right? Because who wants to go through long suffering? Who wants that? But God brings us through those times to grow it in our lives. It's one of the most beautiful gifts of the fruits of the Spirit. One of the most beautiful things in the church is when a mother who is dying of cancer, who doesn't understand all the reasons why, doesn't understand why this is happening to her, but she gives God worship and praise in her suffering. You know, if you just look at it from the eyes of your flesh, you would say that's a loss to her, but really it's a gain to her, because whenever that time is done in her life, whether she dies from that cancer, she goes on to heaven, that's a gain for her. And whether she's healed of it, that's a gain for her as well. Suffering, it's a gain in us. Even though it's hard to see it, but it's a gain to us in our lives. And someone who chooses to glorify God in their suffering, it's a gain to them. There are many examples of those in the Bible who chose to press on through suffering and live a life that pleased God regardless of their situation. Jacob suffered for decades thinking he had lost his son Joseph. There were decades, many years that he thought that he had lost his son. He thought that Joseph was killed by some wild beast. Ruth lost a husband. David, we could write a book about David and his suffering. Suffering in his childhood, suffering after being at the height of success, he was chased around like a wild man in the wilderness by the king of Jerusalem. His father-in-law, King Saul, suffering from the death of a few children. He had a young child that died. He had a son, Absalom, that was killed. There were many things in his life that were suffering in his family, and I'm sure other things as well. Paul was a man who went through suffering, mostly suffering of great persecution. Even though he was serving God, he was going through persecution. But each of these men and women in the Bible, even though they had suffering, they had a nevertheless attitude, just like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Suffering will come mentally, physically, emotionally, financially. Suffering is a real season of life that cannot be ignored. It happens, and it's a real part of what God does in our lives to grow us closer to Him. You cannot wish it away, but it's something that we have to wait in, something that we have to grow in. And contrary to what we want, living in this life, even the born-again, Spirit-filled life, there are times that God brings us through suffering. And things don't always go according to what we want, according to our plans, but God brings us through suffering. Sometimes we are put in suffering by God. Sometimes we are put into suffering by other people. And probably more than both of those, we can put ourselves into suffering. Painful, unwanted, unexpected. But I want to give you hope today, because there is true hope today. I can't promise you the stock market, what it's going to be tomorrow, but I can't promise you another blue sky, but what I can tell you is what the Bible says, that there is hope in the gospel, the blessed hope that comes from obeying the gospel. For those who live according to this book, there is promise of an eternity without darkness. There is promise of an eternity without cancer, without sickness, without disease. There is promise of an eternity without financial distress, without work stress. There is promise of an eternity without suffering. And the suffering that you endure in this life is just but light affliction. It's just but light affliction whenever you compare it to eternity. Our hope of the gospel is that Jesus Christ has given an assurance of eternity to those who live and follow this gospel message. There's hope. There's the hope of the gospel if we follow the message of Jesus. Abraham and Isaac. God speaks to Abraham and asks him to sacrifice his son Isaac. Abraham knew he had heard from God. He knew that God had asked him to do this thing. He knew that God was about to bring him into a place of suffering, but he had faith anyways. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1 through 2 says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." How was it that Abraham was able to do this act of bringing Isaac up this mountain? He knew the promise of God that he was going to be a father of many nations. God had told him this. God had given him this promise that he would be the father of many nations. And he knew that this promise was sure. He knew this promise was something that he knew he heard from God. And so he trusted in that promise. He looked forward to his promise, bringing Isaac up to the top of that mountain. He looked forward to his promise that he had from God to sacrifice Isaac. And he lived this moment, not with his present in mind, but with his future in mind. In the moment where it would have been easy to not trust God, Abraham instead had faith and said, God will provide a lamb for the burnt offering. And we all know that God did. God provided that lamb for the burnt offering that day whenever he went to slay Isaac upon the altar. It's the same when you feel that God is asking too much of you. When you feel that God has placed too much suffering on you. If you feel your life, if you look at your life in light of your future, if you look at it in light of the promise of heaven, It gives you the ability to endure hardships. You may find yourself in a place where you have nothing to look forward to in this life, but you've got something to look forward to. If you follow the book, there is something that you definitely have to look forward to in the next life. Maybe you're struggling because God is trying to correct an area of your life, but you don't know if you want it to be corrected or not. Maybe your suffering is God's way of correction and causing growth in your life. Proverbs said, whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. I don't know about you, but I want to be the man that God has called me to be. And even though I don't want it at times, if it takes him correcting me, if it takes him putting me through suffering, so be it. Whatever God wants in my life, let it be done. If God wants to smooth off some rough edges in my walk with him, even if it may hurt, I've got to come to the place that I can still trust him, that I can still grow in suffering. There was another man in the Bible who endured a lot of suffering. His name was Joseph. In the Old Testament, Joseph was able to continue to live a godly life despite being sold into slavery by his own brothers, sold into slavery by his own family. He was thrown into prison after a false accusation against him, and then he was forgotten by those that he helped in the prison. It was faith in his promise, faith in the dreams that God had given him, that pushed him forward. He knew the voice of God was real, and he knew that what he had heard from God was true. So despite his suffering and his bleak situation, he remembered the dreams that God had given him when he was just a young man, a young child. And so despite the suffering and despite the situation, at each stage in his life, he continued to look forward to that time when God would fulfill his promise, that future that God had given him. He held on to that, and that's what kept him through the prison. That's what kept him through Potiphar's house. That's what kept him through slavery. That's what kept him through the prison. God has made a promise to each and every one of us as well. He's made us a promise of eternity if we live according to his word. Jesus also had a moment where he looked forward to the future to continue on, to press on. Matthew 26 and verse 39 says that, and Jesus went a little further. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was brought to the cross. He went a little farther, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he went to the cross. The Bible teaches us that even though he was God in the flesh, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Hebrews chapter 12 goes even further to explain Jesus, what Jesus looked forward to whenever he went to the cross. Hebrews 12, verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." How? Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Look at Jesus' example, Paul said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction or such opposition of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. The Apostle Paul here is reminding us of Jesus' example of obedience and his example of, instead of dwelling on the suffering that he had to endure when he went to the cross, he set his mind on the joy that was in his future. Obviously, part of that joy was he knew he would rise again on the third day. But I don't think it was just his resurrection that he looked forward to, but I think it was our resurrection as well that he looked forward to, that he put the joy of our resurrection together, of being in heaven together with God. He put that as his joy. He set that joy before him, and that was how he was able to endure the cross. That resurrection helped him move on and press on towards Golgotha. The joy of our resurrection. The joy of being in eternity with all those who would be redeemed by his sinless blood. His joy was thinking of an eternity spent with you and I. This is the joy. This is the joy that he found in the betrayal. This is the joy that he found in the whipping and the mocking and the spitting. This is the joy that he found with the crown of thorns. This is the joy that he found with the brutality of the cross. This is the joy that he found through suffering. Suffering. He found joy in his suffering. Heaven was worth it. It was worth it to Jesus because of eternity. It was worth it to Jesus because he knew that there would be others there with him that died, that lived according to the word of God. Because of his blood, they were able to be in heaven. He knew that he could see that already in the future, and he used that joy to push him on to the cross. The suffering was worth it to Jesus because he knew that one day there would be a redeemed people around the throne of heaven. God desires communion and intimacy with us. That is what the whole Bible is about, getting men and women back into intimacy with God. The cross was a major part of his plan to fulfill this. As for you and I will say today that there is power in living your life with eternity in mind. You may not have anything to look forward to now. Things may look terrible now. There may be a cloud of darkness over you now that you cannot see what's going on in your life now. You can't see a future in your life, in this life. But you've got a promise of heaven, a promise of eternity, that Christ has died for us for it. That season of suffering does anything in your life, allow it to grow a desire in you for heaven. Allow it to grow a longing in you for heaven. There can be many reasons why God can bring suffering into our lives, but I think one of the main reasons of every amount of suffering is to give us a desire, a longing for heaven and eternity with him. Continuing on in Hebrews 12, we'll read 5 through 11. It says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall not we much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For verily, verse 10, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, God for our profit chasteneth us, that we might be partakers of his holiness." Holiness. That's part of suffering, is growing us and holiness. And verse 11, "Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous." The suffering right now, it doesn't seem to be joyous, but grievous nevertheless. Afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. He's saying it doesn't seem to be joyous right now. The suffering that you're going through right now, it doesn't seem to be joyous, but one day there's going to be fruit from it if you just continue on, if you press on and have a nevertheless attitude about it. Titus 2, verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In this present world, we look to the time when Jesus will return and gather his church. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, it's just a light affliction. It's not heavy. It's almost nothing to it. To us, it seems like such a heavy weight. But in eternity's view, it's a light affliction. It's a light suffering, which is but for a moment when you compare it to eternity. He said, which is just but for a moment, worketh for us for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The weight of eternity. If you were to put your suffering and eternity on a scale, your suffering, no matter what it is, will always be so light compared to the promise of eternity. And that's why when you've got nothing else to hold on to, you can hold on to eternity. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Surely if Jesus can set eternal joy before him and go through with the cross, go through with the suffering of the cross, we can press on through our suffering on this earth by setting our focus on eternal things above. The Bible says, set your affection on things above and not on things of this earth. We can set our affection on the things that God has promised us from the Word of God. We have been given the anchoring and the liberating assurance of eternity. It anchors you to the book, and it gives you liberty in your spirit and in your life. Jesus gave the promise of life eternal with him if we follow his commandments. If you follow the instructions of Jesus and the instructions of the apostles, then you have more than a wishful thought of spending eternity with him. It's more than a wishful thinking. It's more than just a tiny bit of hope, but a hope that has been made sure. You have the blessed assurance of eternity. We sing that song, Blessed Assurance. What does that really mean? That's the blessed assurance of eternity, the hope of the gospel. And because of this blessed assurance of eternity, an eternity without sickness, an eternity without death, an eternity without pain, an eternity without suffering, an eternity without heartache, an eternity without sin, but an eternity with joy, an eternity with love, an eternity with peace, and most of all, an eternity with God. You know, the reason why there will be an eternity without all of those things of suffering is because God has brought us to the point where we no longer need that to grow us. We are brought to a point for eternity that God has brought us to a place that we no longer need to grow by suffering. He's brought us to the place where he's ready for us. Because of this assurance of eternity, we can push through. We can endure the suffering here and right now. We can let go of the strife, the deceitfulness. We can let go of this world and obey the word. And we can endure through any trial or any sickness that comes our way. We can endure through any situation. We can endure through any persecution that might come our way. You want to know what keeps people in places like Central Asia, people in the Middle East that live for God, that live according to this apostolic truth? You know what keeps them living for God? It's the promise of eternity. There's nothing else. All the persecution that they go through, the things that they're put through, the places that they're put into, the losing their jobs and being put on blacklists by the countries and being put in prison, these things, the one thing that keeps them is they know that this life that may be full of suffering, but the next life, it will be full of an eternity with God and with the one whom they love. Live in light of eternity. In light of eternity. Life with your promise of eternity on your mind. Look forward to the glorious appearing of the great God, Jesus Christ. Just take your suffering and let it motivate you. Let your suffering motivate a longing inside of you for heaven. Let it motivate a longing and a great desire to leave this old world behind and live with Jesus for eternity in heaven. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. Paul says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified." How? In my body, whether it be by life or by death. Why? Verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He said it's gain for me to die. If it's God's will for me to die, it's gain to me. Paul's conviction of the future, Paul's conviction of eternity and heaven allowed him to happily give up anything in this life now. He also knew that if he did die in this season of suffering, that he would be seeing Jesus. You don't have to live life long to find that life is hard and full of disappointments and hardships and suffering. But in one moment, all of these things will pass away and become new. He who sits on the throne in heaven says, "Behold, I make all things new." Knowing Jesus makes all the difference for this. Not just for my future, but for my present as well. Paul lived in the present, but he did not live for the present. He lived in suffering in his present, but he did not let his suffering put a damper on his eternal life in Christ. But he reminded himself of his eternity. He reminded himself of that blessed assurance that we sing about. His hope was made sure. It was approved by the man. It was approved by Jesus Christ. It was approved of the highest authority and power in the universe. Paul's present did not control him, because deep inside there was a longing for heaven. And that promise of eternity was made sure by God. It was sealed. It was approved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at your suffering today as a preparation for heaven. Revelation 21, John says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, but the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.'" I don't know about you, but heaven sounds pretty great to me. I want to take the suffering that I have in this life and use it to propel me, use it to motivate me to be in this place, a place without suffering and without death and without pain, a place that cancer can never eat away that promise, the debt collector can never come and take away that promise, but a promise that has been made sure, a promise that has been made untouchable by any other in this life that would try to get it. It's something that the devil can never take away from you unless you give it to him. And that's your promise of eternity. Jesus will be coming back one day for his church. That's a definite. That's a guarantee. It's going to happen. So when you are in the midst of suffering, remember, if you've obeyed the message, if you've obeyed the words of Christ, God's given you a promise of heaven. And when you feel like there's so much suffering that you have nothing to look forward to in this life, when you can't see anything to look forward to in this life, when that suffering is so great that you can't, you see no reason to move on, no reason to live another day, remember the promise of heaven. It's worth living for that. You have eternity to look forward to. Here in this country, we live so blessed financially. Maybe it takes God to throw a little suffering our way to give us a reason to long for eternity. God is an all-knowing God. There's a reason for the suffering that you may be going through right now in this very moment. I don't know the full explanation. I imagine no one can give you the full explanation, but I think that we can take every suffering and we can learn from it. And we can also take every suffering and we can zero in our focus on heaven. If you're in a season of suffering, remember eternity. Remember heaven. Set the joy of heaven before you, like Jesus did. Sometimes that may be the only thing you've got to look forward to in this life. You have to remember eternity. Eternity, the promise of eternity, is not something that's just for when we get to heaven, but it's also something for us today to give us something to hold on to live for. Live your life based on where you're going. Friends, God has given us a blessed assurance. No trial, no situation, no temptation, no suffering is too great that we cannot overcome it whenever we keep eternity in mind. We have to keep eternity in mind. Because that suffering that you're in, not only, maybe it's to give you a hunger for eternity. And maybe it's not just for you. Whenever Jesus went to the cross, it wasn't for him. He didn't go to the cross for himself, but he went to the cross for you and I. And he put that joy before him in going to the cross, and that made it worth it. You may not know who it is, but maybe God has put that suffering in your life for someone else to grow with. Maybe that God is going to use that suffering to give you purpose in your life. Or maybe God's going to use that suffering to give someone else purpose in their life. God can use that suffering in many different ways. I'm going to close today with this short story. There was a woman who was diagnosed with a terminal illness, and she had 3 months to live. Her body was rapidly succumbing to the suffering of that dreaded disease that she had, and she began facing the inevitable. She contacted her pastor and asked her pastor to come visit her at her house to get things in order for the days ahead. The pastor met with her in her house to discuss the certain aspects of her final wishes. She told her pastor which songs she wanted to be sung at her funeral, what passages of scripture she wanted to be read, and what dress that she wanted to be buried in. The woman also requested to be buried with her favorite Bible. Everything was in order, and the pastor was preparing to leave her house when the woman, she suddenly remembered something that was very important to her. "There's one more thing," she said, "Pastor. What would that be?" The woman said, "I have a strange request, but I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand." Pastor stood there in silence, bewilderment, kind of at a loss for words, and the woman began to laugh and said, does that surprise you?" "I'll explain." The woman said, "In all of my years attending church socials and potluck dinners, I can vividly recall when they would come to clear the dishes off the table and someone would tap me on the shoulder and say, 'Keep your fork, there's more coming.' That was my favorite part," she said. "That was my favorite part of the meal," she said, "because I knew it meant something better was coming. Maybe a piece of red velvet cake or pecan pie with a scoop of bluebell vanilla ice cream. It was the promise of something wonderful that was coming." She continued, "So I want people to see me there in that casket with a fork in my hand. And I want them to wonder what's with the fork. That's when I want you to tell them, 'Keep your fork. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come.'" Can we all stand this morning? What's served on the table now isn't the only thing that's in the kitchen. God's got more that he's preparing for us. If we just hold on, keep your fork. Whenever you hold your fork in your hand at lunch today, remember that no matter the sufferings in this life, No matter the struggles that you may face in your mortal body or your family, the best is yet to come. But this life isn't the end of your story. If you follow His commandments, you have a promise of eternity from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If there's anyone's word who counts, it's His. Can we pray this morning that God would continue to help us? And can we thank Him? Let's thank Him as well today. Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that You would help us, Lord Jesus, to put joy before us, Lord God, to put that eternal joy in front of us, Lord Jesus, as we go through things in our life, as we go through seasons of suffering. I pray, Lord God, that You would help us, Lord Jesus, to do as You did whenever You went to the cross, that You placed joy before You, Lord God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that You would help us, Lord God, to use that joy, that same eternal joy, Lord Jesus. Help us to use that to press on through our sufferings here on this earth, to press on through every trial, every situation in our lives here on this earth, Lord God. Lord, I want to thank You today, Lord Jesus, for the suffering that You went through for us, Lord God. I want to thank You, Lord Jesus, that You were able to put that joy before You whenever You went to the cross, that You were able to endure the suffering of the cross for us, that You were able to endure the suffering of the cross for me because it was worth it. Whenever You looked at eternity, You saw that it was worth it. I thank You, Lord Jesus, for doing that for me. I thank You for Your blood for us, Lord God. Lord, I thank You, Lord Jesus, for eternity, that You've given us that blessed assurance, that blessed hope of eternity, Lord God. I thank You for that, Lord Jesus. I thank You for that, Lord God, that no matter what else happens in this life, that we have that to look forward to, that we have that blessed assurance, that we can look to that time when You will come back for us, Lord Jesus. I thank You, Lord God. I thank You, Lord Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord God, that You would help us to walk with joy in our hearts regardless of the situation, Lord God, that we get our joy not from the things of this earth, but we get our joy from eternal things, Lord God, from eternity. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord God, I love You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. You made a way for us, even though we didn't deserve it. You made a way for us. Eternity. Eternity makes all the difference in living this life now. The sure hope of eternity with Jesus is what this is all about. That's why any of us are here today, because there is a blessed hope. There is a blessed assurance. That's the only reason why there is people that gather on Sunday. Remember Jesus' own example. He endured the cross for the joy that He placed before Him. He knew that when you step back, you look at everything from eternity's point of view, it's worth it. He saw that it was worth it for us. The suffering was worth it. From God's perspective, the cross was worth it. We need to get God's perspective of our lives, get God's perspective of our situation, of our suffering. Whatever the unexplainable suffering you have, I know it hurts. Find a way to grow in your relationship with God during this time. Let that pain become a motivator. Pain is a great motivator. It is. It can get you to do some things that you never thought you would do. Use that pain, that hurt, to increase your longing.